I'd like to ask to begin with, if someone would read the scripture here. I was thinking whoever would like to do that, save my voice. But it's John chapter 15, 1 through 8.
Okay, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
Thank you very much. I just want to preserve it as long as possible. I couldn't speak at all yesterday, practically, so it's a blessing to be able to speak today. I think there's a reason why Satan doesn't want us to hear this sermon today, because if there's anything that we need to understand, and that is who Jesus is and who the Father is, and this scripture makes this very clear. Now, this metaphor, this story, was given by Jesus to his apostles just before he was crucified, because he wanted them to know that he was not going to abandon them just because he was dying, and that he really cares about them, and that he would be with them, and he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with us. So this scripture here, one of the things that's really important is, what do we do while we are waiting for him to return? Because he says, I will return again. So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? And there's a very, very important word we're going to focus on that's actually in the title. And we need to understand what that means so that we do exactly what Jesus meant by this word that he spoke here later on in the verse, because he wants to get to something that's even more important first. All right? Now, there's going to be two parts to this section of scripture. The first part talks about Jesus, and what's very interesting is that the word abide doesn't even come up until the fourth verse. And it shows that something else is very, very important that comes first before what our responsibility is. Because a lot of times we think, well, how do we abide in him? Well, you know, we just need to make sure we wait until Jesus comes back and so forth. And that's not what abide means. There's a lot more to the meaning behind this that's very critical to understand. But he begins with by mentioning that this is God's grace, just like Pierre was mentioning in the opening prayer, and that what a blessing. Everything that we have is a gift from God, and we need to keep that in mind. And that's how he starts off. I am is the two most important words possible. It's talking about God. It's about God. I am. And he doesn't end with that, because he wants you to know that he is working together. He is one with the Father, because he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. But they're working together. They are a team. They're on the same page. They are united. You have nothing to fear, because the Holy Spirit is the one speaking it to us. because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So he starts this off to let the disciples know that while he was gone, and he's still gone, he wants us to be doing something very, 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 very important. But we need to make sure we don't misunderstand what that is. The second thing that he mentions at the very beginning, after I am, is he says, I am the true vine. Now, why does he say the true vine? Why does he say, I am the vine and you are the branches? Well, there's something that's very important to understand, because there are lots of vines and there are false vines. He is the only true vine. Just like when he goes back in chapter 10 of John that Richard covered last week about the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I am the shepherd and you are the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd. Remember what the scripture says? There is none good, not even one. There is only one good shepherd. There's only one true vine. But Satan's going to try to come in there like he did in the Garden of Eden, and he's going to try to create in you a feeling that you can follow something and be led appropriately. And it's all over the internet. It's all over the world. Satan is working overtime to keep your mind distracted from fixing your eyes on Jesus. He is the only true vine. And there's so many hundreds of distractions. The only way that you can find out which one is catching you is asking yourself, what do I spend most of my time thinking about? Because God tells us we need to pray without ceasing. Now that takes a miracle, because we are all distracted 24/7, but we need to be all day long constantly be reminding ourselves that we need to be fulfilling God's will while we're at work, even while we're at sleep. You know, you can have dreams and ask God to even bless your dreams, but it's all about relationship. And this is what God wants us to see, that he is the true vine, and we're going to find out a whole lot more about this vine, because it's very, very important, and it spells it out in this little section. But he wants us to know that his Father is intimately involved in all that is going on. There's not just Jesus running the whole show. They're working together through the Holy Spirit, because that's why Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send a comforter, so that we are all working together and they're all on the same page. Now, we know this up here, but it needs to be down here, that 18-inch drop into our heart. Now, first thing that we need to understand about this instruction word of abide, it does not mean that he wants us to just hang around and just be patient and wait for the coming of Jesus Christ to come back the second time. There's over 100 scriptures. I had a list out there last week about, or the week before, when all the scriptures that God warns about false teachers, and they are everywhere. And many in the church are unaware of that, even though the scriptures are there. But if we don't read our Bibles, I see it all the time, where people are just really caught up in what appeals to us, thinking, well, this is from God. It's so amazing. It's how I can really have a successful life. God is not interested in your successful life, because it's going to die and it's going to go away forever. And so if that's what you're seeking, is a successful life, you are being taught falsely. You're not following the true vine. The true vine is the one that you are following, who is going to lead you into a intimate, thy will be done relationship with Jesus Christ all day long. That is critical. The word abide is very critical to understand, that this is something that we abide in. But that's not even touching the surface of what we're going to get into. But there are so many different things: money, authority, pride, expertise. Well, I got to do this because this is where I'm really good at. Yeah, but if you do it, make sure that it's Jesus Christ is the one who's doing it through you, because he has to speak the words through you even when you're at work, so that what you say is glorifying God. That doesn't mean you have to be, sounding sanctimonious or anything like that. Just let God know by honoring him through private prayer, even while you're speaking. Say, God, I need you. I need you now, all the time. So that God knows, because he wants to know he can depend upon you for eternity. And right now, he is forming your character so that it's exactly the way Jesus Christ wants you to think, so that, like Jesus said in the last verse of John 14, I do exactly what my Father in heaven commands me to do. And that's what this is all about, learning how to do exactly what Jesus Christ commands us to do. And you might wonder, well, why do we hear this all the time? Every week we come to church, we hear the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, because it's so important, it's so important, it's so important, it's so important to realize that we have to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that matters. That's it. That's the bottom line. If we get that, you've got it, you know. Because once he has begun a good work in you, he'll do the work. You don't have to worry about that. But just ask him to continue doing the work through you 24/7. And when you get sidetracked, just ask God to remind you and to bring you back on track so that we are in sync with his will 24/7. Because we have that fiery dart gun shooting at us from Satan the devil, who's going to be shooting those fiery darts at you. And if you don't have that shield of faith all up, all the time, you will be distracted and you will be misled. And before you know it, you're going to be actually missing the mark. That's called sinning. So we don't want to go there, even though God forgives those things, but we're only hurting ourselves when we go that route. And then finally, we need to understand, like he says, every branch in me, our truest identity is only in Jesus. But Jesus is not saying that he's looking for us to be producing fruit, because it's not our job to produce the fruit. Now you might think, oh yeah, what do you mean? I thought by your fruits you shall know them. But it's the fruits of the vine, not the branches. And a lot of times we think we have to bring forth fruit, but actually the word abide actually means to carry. Just like Jesus changed the water into wine, and then he told the disciples to go and carry the wine to the king or whoever it was that was asking for the wine. And that's our job. Our job in abiding is to be the branches. The branches are the ones that carry the message of Jesus, or the will of God, or the example of Jesus Christ through the branch, and then the fruit is produced. But if that branch is cut off from the vine, no fruit can be produced. So the branch is not what is producing the fruit. The vine is producing the fruit. Does that make sense? Can we see that? Because the word in the original Greek for abide is the same thing that means to carry, which means it flows. And that's where it comes from. But we need to understand that that fruit is being produced by the vine, not the branches, even though we think, well, I'm producing this fruit. No, if you're not connected to the vine, there is no fruit, no matter what kind of branch you is. It has to come. The vine is the one, and we are the ones who are carrying that, so that all the glory goes back to the vine. And that's very critical for us to understand. The Greek word for abide is pheret, P-H-E-R-E-T. It means to carry, to bear, to bring, or even to make publicly known. But all that word is translated, just like the word agape can be translated love and many different ways in the English language. But pheret also can be translated in all these different ways. But it all means that they are being carried along, so that we realize that it's not about us. It's about him. And like we heard in the opening prayer and all the things that are being mentioned, God is the one that does it all. And he just wants us to worship him. Worship means to put him first and just say, God, Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything. Glory, all the glory goes to you. And I just want to do exactly what you want me to do. And then once that is so deeply embedded in our heart, soul, mind, and being, then God sees that we are ready to do what he wants us to do for eternity. But right now, we are in training for that very, very purpose. And again, the whole concept of abiding is a comfort that he wanted to let the disciples know that he's going to be with them no matter what. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And what he wants us to do is to live our lives now the way that we're going to live them when after Christ returns and you are a spirit being. There's two different dimensions that we live in, the physical dimension and the spiritual dimension. And God wants us to be living our lives in the spiritual dimension now. He that is spiritually minded is life. To be physically minded is death. It's important to understand that. If that is our mindset, that we're physically minded and all that we think about is physical, 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 you're a dead Christian, because that's not the way Jesus thought. He was always thinking, what does the Father want me to be doing? And I want to fulfill exactly what he wants me to fulfill. So this is the critical thing. That's why we need to be reminded every week, because if you're anything like me, I've got my spiritual gift is forgetting everything. My hat, my shirt, my glove, whatever it is. That's back when I used to play baseball and coming to church without a Bible or something, you know. But anyway, the important thing that God wants us to do is he wants us to be living in union with Jesus Christ, because that is what is so critical. Because when we are in union with him, then we have everything that we need. And so this living in union with Jesus Christ is what makes God the happiest, because God the Father adores his Son, and he adores us too when he sees Jesus Christ in us. He said, that's what Romans and also the book of John is always talking about, he in us and us in him, and we are in him. And it's, you see it all through the New Testament. We are in him, in him, in him, in him, in him, over and over and over and over again. It's almost like a broken record. And that's what you hear. But God wants us to keep that in mind so that we don't forget that he is the source of our joy and our happiness and our peace. Nothing in this world can begin to even compare with the glory that's going to be revealed into us. And we are actually experiencing that glory now in embryo, so to speak. It's not fully born yet, but when we are changed at the moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, then you'll have the fullness, and then you truly will have jumped out of your skin. So this is the exciting thing that we read about in the book of Revelation in chapter 20, where it talks about, and then chapter 21, there's a new heaven and a new earth and so on. It's a whole different world that is going to be a spirit world, and we are going to be participating in that spirit world. And God wants us to be practicing living the spiritual life now while we are preparing for that time and not being like the rest of the world. God says, he that is a friend of this world is an enemy. That's pretty heavy duty stuff. He that is a friend of the world, that's talking about the world's way of I can do this, I can do, I, all the, everything about I, that's what Satan did. I will live my, I will ascend above, I will do this, I will do this, I. It's something that God hates when we think we have anything to do with what's going on. He is the one that does it all. The branch carries what the vine is doing. The vine is the source, and we are just carrying, like we mentioned, carrying that wine that Jesus Christ changed from water to wine to give it to the king. And when we carry it there, then we are fulfilling God's mission. We are the carriers of the Holy Spirit. We're the carriers of the character of God. But he is the one that gives us his character. He gives us his love, his joy, his peace, his patience. We all have a little taste of that, but it's of the human flesh, and it fails. Human nature, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. All the songs you hear in the on the radio and everything else, all about love, 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 but how many of them are about God's love? It's all about human love. Eros, if you want to look. You know, it's about physical attraction and things like that. There's nothing wrong with those things. But it needs to be motivated by the love of God. Because God created everything. And everything is good that he made. It's just a matter of getting it in the proper context and not missing the point that Jesus Christ is the source. He says, I am the vine. And he says even more so, I am the true vine, because there are so many false vines that claim to be true vines because that's the way it is. You know, this whole world is, Satan is the god of this world, and he's trying to convince everybody that he can reign supreme. And he's ruling this world right now. And everywhere you look, it's in every place you can possibly imagine. That's why God has those 100 scriptures about false teachers, because they come as an angel of light and they make it appear that this is what they are doing when they're really all focusing on you, 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 you. That's it. And God wants it to be about him, 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 because then he'll give you everything. That's how it works. We just need to get the proper context so that we don't miss that mark. And it's so very, very important. And there's also a word that is very important alongside abide, and that is to receive. As branches, we are to receive our life from the vine. And so when it says abide in me, that means we carry the power from God through us to fulfill God's glory and to fulfill his purpose. But we need to receive so that we're not thinking that we are producing. We're not producing it. The branch does not produce the fruit. We are the branches. The branches carry the source to produce the fruit. And if it's not producing any fruit, he says, I'm going to cut it off. Now, when he prunes it, you know, I've noticed on our fruit trees that we have some branches that toward the end, they kind of fizzle out and so forth. Those are the ones I trim off. Then the tree is able to use the juice to produce the proper fruit. But God says, whom the Lord he loves, he chastens. He loves us. And he chastens us, and he allows these things to happen so that, like when you prune a tree, I know I ended up pruning all the fruit trees there. We have 18, or actually more like 20 fruit trees now at the house. And I looked at the plum tree, and I was just astounded to see, after pruning that tree, just in the areas where it needed to be pruned, but I can't even find anywhere on any branch that is not loaded with, I mean, it's like every inch there's another plum. It's just unbelievable how God produces that. Now, if you cut that branch off, and it does, the plum's not going to grow anymore. That's it. It's dead. You know, when that's, well, as much as life that's still in the plum that God put in there in the first place. But we need to understand that it comes from the trunk of the tree through the branches, but it comes from the vine, or God says we need to be rooted and grounded in love. God is the source of everything. And so we just need to understand that, and that we need to be the recipients of what the vine has to offer that is going to be produced by that vine, producing the fruit, the grapes, or whatever it is that's growing on that plant. And so outside of this true relationship with Jesus Christ, or the true relationship with the vine, Jesus wants us to know that there is no true life outside of a relationship with the true vine. We see in the remaining verses of this section, 6, 7, and 8, that When we're not abiding in Jesus, we are powerless, we're wordless, we're fruitless, we're hopeless, we're without a prayer. Because when we're on our own, Jesus himself said, when he was apart from the Father, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. If Jesus, who was God in the flesh, said he couldn't do anything in the flesh, he says, my Father, who is in me, he does the works. We need to understand that so that it's clearly ringing a bell in our hearts, mind, soul, and being, so that all the glory goes back to God in every way, manner, shape, and form. And if you want to accomplish anything, just say, God, I want to fulfill your will, but please come and live within me and do in me what I could never, ever do without you. So that everything we do is all done for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us to do that. So the Father is the giver of all good gifts. And the most important thing that we can do is cultivate a relationship of trust where we can receive everything that he gives to us. Because God is giving us things all day long, but sometimes we don't see it. And we need to realize a lot of times we think that we did something and God did it behind the scenes and we take the credit. We think, oh, well, I did this and I did that and so forth. All the glory goes to God because he's the one that gives you the heartbeat to keep trucking. He's the one that gives you the enthusiasm, the power, the strength and everything because he is the source of it all. All the glory goes to God. And that does not mean he's a megalomaniac either. It's just because he wants to know he can trust us to give us eternal life and power to rule the whole world and the whole universe eventually. And this is the thing, is he wants to make sure he doesn't take on any more Lucifers who are going to think, look at me, I'm like God. Oh, there's nothing that is more despicable in the eyes of God is thinking we are like God, but we are in Christ, we are like God. But if it's not in Christ, we're not. That's the bottom line. Because when Jesus sees us and the Father sees Jesus in us, he is overjoyed. That's what he's looking for. Because he knows then he can trust us with everything. Because he puts all of his trust in his Son and the Holy Spirit to do exactly, because they're all one. One in mind, heart, soul, and being. The only gift that the Father cannot give to us is one that we refuse to receive. And he wants to give us everything. Don't underestimate. I mean, I just thank God for answering the prayer because I didn't think I was going to make it through the sermon today. My voice was gone. When I got up this morning, I said, uh-oh, but God answered that prayer because I'm astounded, but I'm thankful that I'm able to talk. I couldn't talk much at all yesterday. So God is good all the time, and he answers our prayers. As we conclude, verse 7 tells us, but abiding in him will be consistent with the abiding word that is given to us, and even what we wish will be conforming to the true wishes of the vine and the vine dresser. Anybody know who the vine dresser is? That's the Father. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, because Jesus said he gets everything from the Father and the Holy Spirit. They get everything from Jesus and the Father because they are all giving to each other all the time. That's what God wants us to be doing in the church, to be giving to one another. When we are doing that, we are having the very heart, soul, mind, and being of God, because he is the biggest giver ever, and he wants us to be just like him. And I'll tell you, when you give to God, there's no way in a billion years you can outgive God. You can't do it, because God is always the winner when it comes to that, because he outgives us in every way. So if you ask God to give you more faith, he'll give you more faith. Just ask for his faith. If you want more love, any one of the fruits of the Spirit you feel like you're lacking in, just ask. Say, God, I want more of your gentleness because I tend to be a little bit mean from time to time. So please give me your gentleness so that what I say can be upbuilding. You know, it says build each other up in your most holy faith. But building each other up and being comforting and strengthening and so forth, if you tend to lack anything, just say, God, I need more of this aspect of your spirit because my wife just told me that. Ask God and he'll give it to you, but don't you try to do it. Say, God, I need you to do it through me. Because when we try to do it, we forget the next day. But when God, when you ask God to do things, he will continue. He's faithful and he will do things through you that you never dreamed you could possibly do because he is the source of everything. Next week, Anthony Garside will be here and he'll be giving us a very interesting sermon, so you don't want to miss it. But the week after that, we're going to pick up the second half of John's gospel here in chapter 15, 9 through 17, and know even more so how to use that gift that God has given to us. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you so very much that you are faithful, that you are our best friend. Everything that we have is from you. And God, we just want to be the best carriers, the ones who abide in you, that rely on the vine. You are the true vine. And your Father is the vine dresser. And we have both of you living in us by the Holy Spirit. And it's just such a wonderful gift. And God, we just want to worship you and praise you and thank you forever and ever and ever. And we look forward to being with you when your son returns to this earth and you've promised that we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with you in the air, and so shall we forever be with you, fulfilling your will and enjoying you and carrying out your purpose in this earth and everywhere you are, which you are omnipresent, and we just look forward to your plans that we don't even have a clue what the fullness of those plans really are. But we are looking forward to it with greatest anticipation, trusting you and praising you and thanking you for the trials that we're going through now that are preparing us for that future where we can trust you for eternity. And so we thank you, God. We praise you and give you all the glory in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.